What's shaking, Red Nation? It is another episode of The Dream Take, presented by The Dream Shake, home of all things Houston Rockets over at SBNation.com. Jeremy Brenner here with part two of three of our draft prospect review. And I've got my co-pilot, Michael Brown, ready to talk about the wings of this draft. Mike, how is your Wednesday going? How are you?
Hey, all good, brother. Always good to be on with you.
Absolutely. And last episode, we talked about guards, so go check that out wherever you listen to podcasts for part one of that series. But now we have part two, the wings. And in my opinion, the term wing is a very loose term, because in today's NBA, we have wings that can be considered twos, some can be considered threes, you can argue that some wings are even fours. And I can tell, Mike, by the definition of wing, you and I disagree automatically.
Well, no, not necessarily. Well, I mean, not necessarily. I mean, to me, like, when you say the prototypical, like, wing in today's NBA, he's a guy that runs anywhere from 6'3 to 6'8, 6'9. I know some people would, you know, consider that to be a big at 6'9". To me, that's a wing. You know, a wing, you know, prototypically is a guy like Trevor Ariza. I would consider Danny Green to be a wing. I would consider Jayshon Tate to be a wing. I don't think he's a power forward as some people might think. But, I mean, the wing is definitely an area of this roster that needs to be addressed often this offseason.
Yeah, and, you know, today I have we have a couple people that might be coming in and out depending on their schedule, guys that have done great job covering this draft so far. One of those guys is my good buddy Nima Javadzadeh. He is a co-host over at Gen Z Rockets, the Gen Z Rockets podcast. So Nima has done a fantastic, absolute, amazing job, and I'm super glad to welcome him onto the podcast today. Nima, what's going on,
bro? How's it going, Jeremy? Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. The thing is, Nima, is I need to be able to give the listeners the best solid advice, and I know that you are one of those people, so you're going to give us your knowledge, and I'm here to soak it up and listen as the rest of our listeners are. Thank you to all of those guys listening here on Spotify Green Room. Mike, thank you. Mike making all this noise in the background. What you doing, Mike? Anyway. All right, Nima. This is a very, there's a lot of different directions in which we can go to this. I figured I would give Mike some flowers to start off, and start off with his boy Quentin Grimes, because I know that he's really high on him. We can start with him, and then we can look over to Twitter, see what some of our good old friends over at the Twitter account left for us today, and then we can kind of let this conversation flow. So I'm going to let Mike give Quentin Grimes some flowers here, and then, whoa, Mike, where are you at, bro? Are you at the laundromat or something like that?
No. I just closed my garage, so I am now home.
Well, okay, there we go. Welcome home. All right.
Hey, thank you so much.
So give me your 30-second elevator pitch on why the Rockets should go for Quentin Grimes at 23 or 24.
I think 23 or 24 is not the spot for me for Quentin Grimes. I like Quentin Grimes a lot. I'm not a huge Quentin Grimes guy, though. I think he's going to be a good...
Hold up. You've been gassing up U of H all this time, and you're going to say you're not a Quentin Grimes guy? What are you talking about, bro?
Absolutely. I can be a huge U of H guy, but I'm not high on Quentin Grimes at the next level. I think he's going to be a good player. I don't think he's going to be a great player. I like him on the defensive end. I don't love him on the defensive end. I think he's a good shooter. I don't think he's a great shooter. I just don't think the ceiling is incredibly high for a guy like Quentin Grimes. If I'm the Rockets, I don't take him at 23 or 24.
Nima, what is your thoughts on Quentin Grimes? How accurate is Mike's statement? He's right.
I would not take Quentin Grimes at 23 or 24. There's just a lot of talent in this draft, and there's a lot of players who, in my opinion, just have a higher upside. Quentin Grimes is great. I think he's going to be a decent like pick around the early second round, maybe late first round. But I would probably take him around like 33 or 34. I think he's at like 32 on my big board. I just really like his athleticism. He's able to shoot. Being in Kelvin Sampson's like system and, you know, having defense kind of forced into your brain is a great thing, you know, before the professional level. And so I think he'll be able to, you know, come off the bench of a pretty good team and give you some good impact. I kind of like that the pick at 32 with Milwaukee. If they, you know, end up getting rid of Bryn Forbes or he doesn't come back, I think, you know, that's a decent replacement, a guy who can shoot at about 40% from three in the college level. I would say probably maybe 37-38% in the pros if he's able to get the similar types of looks. I'm not crazy about his ability to create for himself. I think he's going to be best fit on a team with other creators and kind of just being a good shooter or, you know, off ball kind of guy. But yeah, I mean, at 23 or 24, he's not someone I would reach for. There's a couple guys that I would think about reaching for and maybe just taking like a high upside bet, but he's not one of them.
Yeah, I'm with you. Name it. Like, I watched every single U of H game this year. He never wowed me. You know, like, U of H played some of the best team ball in the country. And yes, he had good games, but he never popped on the screen to me. Like, one team I think he would do incredibly well with is Philadelphia. Philadelphia Milwaukee type of team where he can, like you said, come off the bench. Don't ask too much of him because he's not going to give it to you. Like, he's a guy that will give you 6 to 8 points a game, I feel like. Low side, high side, 10 to 12 points off of your bench. But that's it. I mean, I think he's a nice player. I don't think he's a guy that I would break the bank for at 23 or 24 if I'm the Rockets.
Now, here I was thinking, Mike, you thought, like, the world of Quentin Grimes. I'm shook.
No, I mean, he's still,
that y'all have said is incorrect. I'll say
he's,
that.
He's still a major part of a team that just went to the Final Four, which is great, but then they got trounced in the Final Four, which sucked to watch. But he's a guy that, if you ask me, would I rather have him or the kid from Baylor? I'm taking the kid from Baylor every single day of the week over Quentin Grimes. Who's the guy we talked about last show? Jared Butler. Yep. I'm taking Jared Butler infinite times over Quentin Grimes if I have the chance. Because I think he has a much higher ceiling. Nima, what is your comparison for Grimes at the next level if you have
one? I don't really like doing player comparisons. Okay. One, because I'm not fantastic at them. And two, because I just don't really like putting stuff like that, but I do think that he'll be a good, like, rotational off the bench, maybe like an seventh or eighth man. Can get you maybe a max of 12 points per game, 14 points per game, and decent from the three. If I had to, you know, pinpoint a kind of player, maybe like a Marco Bellinelli type of guy, but not as good at shooting. Being able to just kind of hit the threes, play decent defense. He's a lot more athletic, and I think he can use his athleticism in the next level. But I see him being used as sort of an off-ball kind of guy. I don't know. I think he's more of just a rotational guy at his peak. I think he'll be able to do that for a long time. Like, I think he might be able to come in next year and immediately, you know, help a team. But what you get is kind of what you get at that point.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take a stab at this. And now Neiman and I have talked about this next guy that I want to discuss. But I think Neiman is a lot more higher on this guy than Mike was on Quentin Grimes. And Neiman, correct me if I'm wrong, but you seem to be really high on a guy that a lot of people aren't really talking about, and that's Vrens Blijenburg. From Belgium. So give me your 1 minute elevator pitch on Vrens Blijenburg and why they should go after him. He hasn't really been much of the conversation, so let's bring him into the conversation. Vrens Blijenburg, yeah. 1 minute, go.
So he's a 6'11" point guard. I mean, I that in itself is super intriguing. He's very unselfish. He can pass like live off the dribble, make, you know, lobs, cross court passes, skip passes. Great in the pick and roll. He did have a roll threat in Antwerp last year, and they utilize that a decent amount. He has really good vision. He spaces the floor pretty well. Cuts really hard off ball. He's not great at converting at the rim yet, but he's just really skinny. I think he just needs to bulk up a little bit. Really good handle. Capable of guarding, you know, the 1-4. He's been guarding guards his whole life, basically. And he's 6'10", so he's able to use his size against bigger guys as well. He's been in the professional system for 17 years. Like, this guy is going to be able to come in my opinion, and adjust to the NBA, maybe not the game, but to the NBA on day one. He's not going to have any problems being a professional. He's supposed to be, like, super enthusiastic, accepting of criticism, high IQ. I read a bunch of interviews about him. People basically say that if there's a unicorn in this draft, it's probably him. And I agree with that. He's basically, in my opinion, the way I think of it is, if Josh Giddey is a top 12 kind of consensus pick, I don't understand why Vrenz isn't a first-round pick. He's bigger, shoots the ball a little bit better, maybe a little bit worse of a passer. He's not as versatile of a passer as Giddey is, but he's still a very good passer. I'd say he's top 5 in the draft. I think this guy has amazing potential. He's a little bit older than Giddey, but, you know, being in the professional system for as long as he was, I think he's got it. I think he's going to be really good. I don't know if I would reach for him at 24, but he does have his Minnesota combine coming up, or fake combine. And we'll see how they do, or how he does against, like, the other guys. The other guys are, like, all kind of projected second rounders. So we'll see how that goes, but I think he'll probably go, like, early second round. He's one of the guys I would reach for in the 20s, though.
Yeah, so this is, like, Nima's pinned tweet over on his Twitter, at FindingNima23. So he has done a lot of these, like, deep dive, easy graphics to read. So go check those out. But, yeah, you look at this guy, and, I mean, the way that you just gassed him up, I might say, you know what? No more Green Game, no more Mobley Mom. I'm taking Vrenz number 2 overall. But I do see what you're saying. He does not have as much exposure than most of these guys. Another added bonus is that he played in Belgium with Jayson Tate.
Jayson Tate, yeah, former teammate of Jayson Tate. And Stone earlier in the year said Hoopers no Hoopers. So, you know, I have to think that Tate is in his ear about this guy. But he hasn't had a workout with the Rockets yet. He worked out with OKC and Memphis, now the Minnesota Combine. So maybe he crushes it and we see if he gets a workout. But my fingers are crossed.
Nima, I want to ask you real quick about a guy who, forward-wise, I am incredibly high on, and that's Johnny Juzang from UCLA. What are your thoughts about him? After watching him play, though, I like how fundamentally sound he is. If he falls to the Rockets, I don't know if I'm taking him at 23. If they found a way to end up with him in the early second round, do you find good value in that pick? Or
I would be completely honest. I don't think he gets drafted. And if he does, I think it happens late second round. Ooh. If he goes undrafted, that would be an amazing, amazing summer league pickup. And I think that would be a great, you know, two-way kind of guy for next year. Juzang is someone who,
I've seen him going everywhere. I mean, he's getting drafted late first in nearly every draft.
I've seen him late first round, but from a lot of people, I've seen him late second round or undrafted. I have my consensus big board of like 60 different drafts. And currently, let me pull that up. Juzang's ranked 56th out of 134, 33 players that have been on here. So not great, but, you know, he could get drafted. I think he was ranked as high as 28 and, you know, undrafted plenty of times. But
gotcha.
If he does go undrafted, or, you know, maybe you buy into that second round, again, there's just other players I would buy into the second round for. There's just some, like, you know, high potential guys. There's, I'm not going to pronounce his full last name, but Mamu from CN Hall. He's, like, a 6'11 guard as well. Really big body, moves very, very well. That's somebody that I would buy a second round pick for. But if I think I would hope Juzang goes undrafted and just pick him up for the summer league. Although I think he's going to get a lot of suitors for summer league.
Gotcha.
The thing is, there's a lot of these guys though that could go late first, or could go undrafted. It feels like a lot of these guys have such a weird ceiling, and it's because there was a limited showing from them last year. There were games that were limited this year. People are not able to go fly out and see these overseas prospects as often. Maybe that's why Vrenz Blyenberg sits maybe late second when he should be a little bit higher. So there's so many different like wrinkles to this draft in particular. Maybe not as much as last year's draft, where it was just kind of in the middle of the pandemic and nobody really, at least those guys had like a full season and the teams were doing proper scouting until the middle of March. But this year, it's been a full year of practically really no, very few games and very few opportunities for exposure to meet these guys. And another thing, too, is what makes it interesting is that the Rockets don't have a second-round pick. I think it's been so long since the Rockets have not had, I guess last year they didn't have a second-round pick either, but, I mean, they have three firsts and no seconds, which is incredibly different than what we're used to here in Houston. So my thinking is you need to at least get three guys in the draft, but they don't necessarily need to be 223, 24. You can trade down from 24 to go into the second round and maybe get a guy that's a little bit better value at a better salary. But there are so many different layers, and I don't necessarily want the Rockets to reach for a guy. However, because every team's big board, there's so much range for everybody, it's difficult to tell where these teams value these prospects. Someone could be number 25 on Houston's board. They could be number 75 on Orlando's board, or they could be 50 on Brooklyn's board. It's really interesting how this draft is going to be, because I feel like, especially with the wings, there's a lot of different wings out there, different sizes, different backgrounds, overseas, college, G League, all of that, and it makes this really difficult to analyze, but we're here analyzing it because that's what we got to do. I think the one thing that is, I guess, a good thing is that there's a whole lot of talent, and it's going to be really hard to mess things up. I feel honestly, though, with Houston, I mentioned in the last podcast, it's going to be really difficult for whoever comes in to really make a mark, because they have so much more competition from guys that are currently on the roster that are still really young, and they might not necessarily have that problem elsewhere. Like, you're coming into a roster and you have to compete for playing time against KJ Martin, against Kyrie Thomas, and those guys are already there, against Armani Brooks, and they are competing for time as well. They were barely in the NBA last season. So there is going to be a lot of competition there. And that's kind of why I really don't care where the Rockets go position-wise, because I feel like there's going to be competition at every single position. But in reality, there are so many different directions this team can go.
Yeah, and just to kind of build on that real quick, looking at, you know, my consensus of things, 23 guys were projected in the top 10 by somebody, you know, somebody that I had. Most of them are either, you know, people that are respected on draft Twitter or, you know, media outlets that have their own, including SB Nation. 23 different people have been mocked in the top 10. So us sitting at the 23rd pick, we'll be getting somebody who someone thought was a top 10 pick. Which I think is, you know, that's great value. I mean, like you said, stuff with COVID and all of that, we just haven't been able to see a lot of these players. And then you look at the G League guys too, like even further down, Isaiah Todd and Dacian Nix. They just had a small sample size of games in a very, very, you know, unique environment that was a bubble. It's again, like, it's very unpredictable, this draft. Like, we could very likely get really, really good value at 23 and 24, and that's why I feel a little uncomfortable reaching. I do agree with you. Maybe trade back a little bit. I proposed earlier this week, what if we traded back 24 for, I believe, 27 is the Brooklyn pick, 24 for 27, and then picked up one of their second rounders as well. Because realistically, in that 20 to 35-ish range, all those players are almost interchangeable in value. I mean, you're getting, like, you know, everybody's a little bit different. But in terms of right now, what the way you rank them, the difference between 22, 23, 24, 25, all those guys is just so minimal that I'm okay with trading back a couple spots with one of those picks and then picking up another guy in the fourth or with a fourth pick in the second round and making that your, you know, high reach kind of guy, whether it be Vrenz or like a guy like Josh Primo if he were to slip, even though he's going up a bunch of boards. Stone said in his interview that he wanted to, you know, go for young guys and go for potential. And, you know, kind of lean into that player development coaching staff that we have. And so that's my hope with those 23 and 24 picks. Maybe you get a guy like JT Thor or, you know, like, again, I say Josh Primo just because he's the youngest guy in the draft. I think that's insane, especially because he's very talented. The Rockets have a chance to build something really special with this draft. And we have our pick next year, and then we don't have a, like, bundle of picks till 2023. I think really getting these guys and having them grow for 2 years with Kevin Porter Jr., with Christian Wood, Jay Sean Tate, KJ Martin, you have a chance to really establish a really good future here. So I hope they just – you got to nail this draft. It's important.
Neem, I wanted to just get your real quick thought on another local guy in Greg Brown from the University of Texas. What do you see from him that you like, and could he be a potential fit for the Rockets?
I think he can fit almost anywhere. I love him. He can space the floor. I really think if he were to have stayed in school and transferred into a program that probably could have used him a little bit better, he would be a surefire lottery pick next year. But, you know, I don't think it's bad that he's getting into the draft. I think he will get drafted. I think he could be a late first rounder, but probably early second round. And again, like, that's one of those guys that I would probably pick. I would reach for as well at 24. And that I would also, you know, try and trade back, get a second round pick, and then pick Greg Brown. He's, you know, very extremely athletic. He'll run the fast break with you. He'll make the, you know, he can be a great help defender if he kind of gets the IQ a little better. As long as that shot pans out, I think he has a chance in the league. I think UT, it was just a bad situation. Kai Jones also kind of exploding, kind of pushed him back, and Shaka just didn't know what to do with him. I think there's a lot of potential for Greg Brown in Houston, especially. It would be really cool to see him get picked at 24. I also think, like, guys like him, Josh Christopher, Tua Fault, BJ Boston, who, you know, were kind of top 10 picks their entire time, or top 10, like, ranked top 10 their entire time basically growing up, being five-star recruits coming out of high school. You kind of bank on that potential a little bit, especially whenever you have those later picks, and hope they just kind of pan out.
Sure. Yeah, and Greg Brown is in Houston, according to his Instagram story. So the Rockets are giving him a workout, or at least that's what we would think. You know, if you're in Houston at this time, you're probably, and you're a draft prospect, chances are you're meeting with the Rockets. So that's definitely a good sign if the Rockets can get Greg Brown there. I think they've invited him for a workout, so they definitely have their eyes on him. Another guy that I want to bring up, if he's available right now, is Mr. Don Knock, a longtime listener of the podcast. He mentioned some guys to talk about in our tweet today. So if he has time to come up, I'd love for him to come and join us for our next discussion of guys. So, Don, I sent you a speaker request, and he's up right here. Don, welcome to the Dream Take, my friend. How are you?
Hey, give me one second.
No worries.
Put my microphone on.
All right. And shout out to everyone that is listening to us live here on Spotify Green Room. We greatly appreciate your support. And feel free to chime off in the comments after we send Don. After we have our conversation with Don, I'll probably ask for more speaker requests if any of y'all have them, to ask your questions before we wrap up the show. It's definitely there's so many guys that we could talk about, and it's so difficult because these guys that we're talking about have very good chances of not just going after the Rockets pick, but going before they pick. One of those guys that Don wants to talk about is Usman Garuba, who I've seen as probably one of those 23 guys that's been mocked in the top 10 from what Nima mentioned earlier. But, Don, give me your thoughts on Usman Garuba. Why do you like him for the Rockets?
So I think we need to get some more defense in, and that's what he brings kind of in spades. He's got a good motor. He's like a strong, strong frame. He's got an NBA-ready type of body. I think – from what I've seen, he's good like in pick and roll. Good, pretty good finisher. He has some spot up type of three. I haven't seen a whole lot more past that just yet. I'm still going over a lot of his tape, but I think he's just another like high upside guy. And I think he did similar to how Nima was talking about Vrenz being in a pro system. Like Garuba was also in a pro system overseas for a while in Real Madrid. Yeah. So that's kind of some of the reasons I'm banking on him. And like I said, he's shot up a lot of people's boards recently, and it's not hard to see why. Especially like we have KPJ. If we get someone like a Green, I think leaning into more defensive picks with the 23 and 24 would be a good idea.
Yep. Nima, thoughts on Garuba?
I love Garuba. I'm actually like – Real Madrid is my favorite basketball team. I watch them a decent amount. I've gone to a couple games whenever I was in Madrid. So, Garuba, I love. First of all, he's very, like, just long athlete. He's quick, mobile. He's very good on the defensive end. He's able to read the defense very well. Great at switching. He can guard all five positions because, like, he's just very mobile, quick with his feet. But also, he's 6'8 and has a like very good frame, similar to like a Kenneth Faried type of frame already. And I think that he can be probably the best defensive player in this draft. The offensive game might not pan out. He's not great with his handle. He's not great with as a passer, although he did show some like pretty good passes throughout the season. And his shooting started off pretty bad, but he got up to about like – I think he had a stretch of games towards the end of the season where he was averaging about 40% from three. I think that's a guy that if he's there at 23, you take him. I don't think he'll be there at 23. But if he's there at 23, you take him. Maybe you take someone else and then take him at 24 just so you give him a little less guaranteed money. But if he's there at 23, you win the draft. Like
And Nima, is he a guy – Jeremy and I have talked about this a little bit before. Is he a guy that you would potentially move up slightly in the draft to go get? Do you think he has that type of talent that you would – instead of getting 23 and 24, move up slightly to go get?
Maybe. I think yes. Like, let's say he's at, like, 20, and you trade, like, 23 and something to move up to 20, then maybe. I think it depends on who's still on the board. Because there's, like we said, there's going to be so many guys that slide up and down. Like, you could see a guy like Kai Jones be there at 23. And then if Kai Jones is there at 23, you don't want to trade down and get Garuba with 23 and 24. Maybe Jared Butler is there at 23. I like him a lot. There's chances that a guy like, what's his name, Jalen Johnson could slide, even though I don't think that that's very likely, but I do like his game a lot. That's someone else that I would just take at 23 rather than trade up. So I think it just depends on who's still there. But if the offer is right and, you know, it seems like the guys that are on the higher part of your board are getting taken off very quick, then, you know, go ahead. I don't see why not. I think the Rockets just need to be sure. Like, if you're going to trade up for a guy that is, like, a tier above or maybe even a tier and a half above everybody else on the board in your in on your big board. And that's the only way I really see you doing it. Because those 23 and 24 picks, like, you're gonna get good quality out of it. Hopefully.
If you trade up with 23 and 24, you better buy into the second round. That's all that I'm gonna say, because I said this, you got three picks, you gotta walk away with three picks. Or at least.
Yeah, like if I did like 23 and 24 for like 19 and one of New York's second rounders, then I think I'd do it. But again,
maybe they use one of those picks to trade up and one of those picks to trade down. Maybe they only trade one of those picks.
Yeah, I mean, we have guys like House and DJ Augustine that you can add on to contracts. And we have all those future first and seconds. So,
do y'all think Gordon could get moved before the draft? Maybe try to get like a later pick?
God, I hope so.
It'd be very difficult, I think, to move Eric Gordon without attaching an asset. It would probably have to take – like, I know we kind of floated around the idea a couple weeks ago of, like, Eric Gordon and 23 for Hero or something like that. And I talked to Heat people about it, and they were like, hell no. Like, get out of here. Like, goodbye. Like, they really hated that deal. And I know there was those rumors about how Hero is on the move, but – it's kind of cooled down a little bit from what I've heard from Heat people. So I'm not expecting the Rockets to really be able to move on from Eric Gordon. I mean, I just can't imagine a team that would be really interested in him. I've said it before on a couple of these episodes is, you know, the league right now is kind of stuck. There's not really a trade that makes a whole lot of sense that's going to blow the league open. And I think it's And it puts the Rockets in a really difficult position because they are a team that could benefit from a trade or two because they have those kind of contracts that are just super difficult to eat up. But at this point, it's really difficult for me to, especially considering how thin our 2022 draft assets are currently, I personally would rather wait for Eric Gordon to, you know, give Eric Gordon playing time even. Let him ball out this year potentially, and then deal him at the deadline next year. I think that's much more likely of a situation for Eric Gordon, at least. But Don, is there any other prospect that you wanna address or assess? Address and assess before we move on.
Yeah, Zaire Williams, another guy that he might slide. There's potential for that. I think. His shooting numbers this year weren't amazing. I think 29% from three. But another guy, you know, real athletic. He has some shot creation, some playmaking. I listened to a podcast the other day and they were talking about having like multiple playmakers on the floor and that being really like the essence of how Silas wants to run a lot of his offense. So Williams would play into that a lot. Same thing, rangy, defensive type of guy. And I think he can improve his – I think his shot's a little janky, but hopefully they can kind of get it more refined. Like, I know people are low on Mobley shooting, but Mobley's shot looks really good when he shoots it, right? Like, he's very good fluid mechanics. I think Williams could do a little more refining on his shot. And then other than that, like I said, good defensive instincts, good – I think he could be, like, a weak side shot blocker. Type of guy similar to how like Brown could be used. Those are kind of my big takeaways from what I've seen of him so far.
I think Zaire Williams is really athletic. I think that is probably the one thing that stands out to you first. And another thing too is, you know, he's been covered for a couple of years now because he played for Sierra Canyon, and Sierra Canyon is the high school for basketball now. It's Bronny and LaMelo, all of them, and he's been kind of a part of that group. So that's why he's, I think, been mocked maybe a little bit higher. I'm not as high on him because he's been mocked in top tens in some places, or in the lottery. So I think teams are high on Ziaire Williams, especially considering the fact he's only 19. He'll be 20 by the time the season starts. Super young, super high motor. But I also fear with the way that Silas wants to run that offense and have, you know, playmakers at every position, I don't necessarily think that's the way that the NBA is really trending in terms of where things are, because look at the teams that are in the finals. Usually what I like to look at is look at the teams in the finals, see how they are modeled, and try to go just a little bit further ahead of that curve. And you look at Phoenix, they, like, Jay Crowder isn't really a playmaker. You can't have five leaders. You need some followers in there. PJ Tucker started in the finals. He's definitely not a playmaker. And so I think you need guys that are a little bit more defensive-oriented, like Usman Garuba, who reminds me a little bit of, like, Jeremy Grant. Defensively, I think he could be similar to that. Like, almost like a weird hybrid of, like, Jeremy Grant and Serge Ibaka. Can play big like Ibaka can, but is also lateral like Jeremy Grant as well. It's amazing how these prospects are developing, because you can see, like, they model their game after so many people, because they've seen more people, they have access to watching more basketball, and they get to model their games after so many people, and it creates these unicorn-like prospects. And I think Ziaire Williams has that, you know, athleticism, and I can't say no to athleticism really ever, but at the same time, I think you do need some followers to match with the leaders that are on the court. And Ziaire Williams is not going to be the primary ball creator for the Rockets if he were to come here.
Yeah, I think the creation potential I was talking about is more like a secondary creator, like someone that's going to keep the ball moving more so than like really being the lead dog. Like, you have KPJ obviously to do that. I think, honestly, if we were to get Jalen Green, I think it's a similar thing of where, like, Jalen Green's playmaking is a lot better as, like, a secondary type of guy rather than the guy who needs the ball in his hands line, especially Green. I mean, his off-ball potential is really high with his slashing, his finishing at the rim, and I even think his movement shooting will be a good tool for him at the next level. But, yeah, that's kind of what I was getting more so with, like, multiple creators, is not necessarily having, like, you know, five James Hardens out there, but having guys that can, like, at least put the ball on the floor, do a little bit of slashing, and then make the right pass to open teammate once they get an advantage situation. Some guys that's not going to, like, get into a pick and roll as a pick and roll ball handler and, like, totally, you know, break the scheme. So
if Garuba could become like a Paul Millsap type of guy, I would love that. I think, yeah, that's like, he's got a similar build, can space the floor kind of like that. He needs to work on his handling and all that, but he has quicker feet than I think Millsap probably ever had in his career.
And Nima, don't you think that the perfect type of guy to put next to a Christian Wood, if they don't go Mobley at two, is a Paul Millsap type? You know, a guy who will go get you, you know, 17 and 8. But will be a force on the boards when you need him to be. That's what Wood really needs. Wood needs a power forward that can bang for him.
He needs a Zach Randolph type.
Exactly. Like Zach, like before he killed it in New York, Julius Randle next to Christian Wood would have been a match made in heaven.
I mean, even like today, that would be a great.
Oh God, I would give anything for Julius Randle.
This is exactly why I love John Collins. Like,
well, I mean, yeah. John Collins, I mean, do y'all think that he's a legitimate chance for the Rockets or no?
He's gonna get a max contract, and no.
He did really well in the playoffs, John Collins,
only because I just think Atlanta played himself into a place with Atlanta where they have to re-sign him at this point. But Atlanta is probably another team that is going to look to offload some of those contracts so that they can go and sign them. So, Don, I've got other speaker requests. No, I do not, because the guy left. But is there anything else that you have to say before we sign out?
Yes, one more thing.
Absolutely.
Kind of on the Paul Millsap, you know, realm there. Like, I want the Rockets to be a good rebounding team. It feels like we've been undersized and poor at boxing out. for so long now, and I just want them to, even if they don't get someone in that's, you know, like a bigger guy or like a longer guy, like bring in someone that has good rebounding instincts. That's my one goal for these later picks in the draft. So, but yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for bringing me up. Love the podcast, obviously, and I'll go back down into the chat with everyone else. Thanks, guys. Yeah.
Thank you, Don. You can go follow Don on Twitter at Don Knock. He's done a lot of work for, you know, just draft work and all of that. So he's a real smart follow on Twitter if you're over there. So be sure to give Don a follow. And I think this is a good place to park. But Nima, any last thoughts about any guys, maybe like quick hits on any guys that we haven't really discussed yet?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of wings, I think we kind of covered a lot of the ones back there. There's Corey Kispert, who, if he's at 23,
mm-hmm. he's a lot.
I would trade the pick and let someone else take Corey Kispert at 23 and try and get some value out of that, because I'm not crazy.
You're not high on Kispert.
It's not that I'm not high on him. I just think he is what he is right now, and that's what he'll be in the league, and that's cool. But there's just a lot of those guys that you can find, you know, eventually, and they're not exactly a necessity. I take 40% and a little bit of everything over 43% and just three pointers. But I might just be a little bit lower on Kispert than other people. In terms of rebounding, you know, there's a lot of good bigs out there that I think can rebound, and there's also a lot of wings out there, and I think we covered a couple of them with Zaire Williams, with Greg Brown. I just think the Rockets need to hit these picks or you know, get guys. They don't need to be 1 year impact. I think a guy like Greg Brown would probably benefit from some G League play. Vrenz as well probably needs a year in the G League. Even Zaire Williams will need some G League minutes likely. So, you know, it's just about getting the picks right. That's all we got to hope for. And I think the Rockets organization is pretty sound with what they're going to decide on.
One more quick guy, Nima, I want to get your opinion on Jalen Johnson from Duke.
Oh man! If he's there at 23, I'd love him.
Okay. I'm with you. I think he could be a steal in the draft.
I really like his ability to kind of like run in transition. He's able to handle the ball. He makes really good passes. I think he can be a really good like point forward kind of guy. Very athletic, plays above the rim. He can shoot pretty well, but his mechanics are kind of wonky. So who knows if that translates, but I mean, it went in like 44% of the time. The biggest problem is, it's kind of the attitude. Apparently Duke wasn't the first time he's ever left. He like went to high school and I guess he went to IMG and then like left IMG before even playing a game. So there might be some character issues there. So he did slide down my board a little bit once I figured that out. Just a spot or two, nothing crazy, but you know, the character issues are always something that it's very hard to, especially as fans, because we're all just armchair scouts. But it's a little bit hard to kind of gauge. And so the teams definitely know better than we do. They get to meet these guys, they get to talk to them, meet their families, whatnot. And, really get a better understanding of the players. And so if the mental part is there, if he, you know, seems like he's going to have a great attitude or whatnot, he's a top 10 pick. He's a top 10 talent. I think Duke also was just, I don't know. Coach K is getting senile.
He's finally out of there.
Glad he's retired. One year left. I need Boeheim out of here.
Yeah, and I guess one quick hit that I have before we sign off, Derek Alston, from Boise State. Ironically, he's 23, so he went 5 years, in college. He was a walk-on at Boise State. His dad, Derek Alston, played in the league and played overseas. I grew up with Derek. We went to the same school for elementary school in the Houston area, and he ended up going to Strake Jesuit in Houston. He went and then went and walked on at Boise State, and he was their best player, I think, by his junior year. The funny thing about Derek is he could be a late second round pick. His stock has been his stock was a lot higher during the season, but I think since the season has ended, he's dropped a little bit on boards because he is 23 and he's going to be probably 24 before the season starts. So that's not necessarily the guy you want to pin your thing on or like place your eggs in that basket. Sure. But I will say he has worked for the Rockets before. Derek Alston was an assistant coach, I believe, under I want to say it was Kevin McHale. He was on the Rocket staff for a season or two, and Derek was actually he was the ball boy, or he was like the guy that cleans the courts or something like that. So he's like connected literally with the Rockets organization. And his dad, Derek Alston, is now the head coach of the Westchester Knicks. And so there's connections to the Knicks, connections to the Rockets. He'll be in the league next year. Good to see a local talent.
If he goes undrafted, don't be surprised if the Rockets pick him up.
I think he's a perfect – he's like 6'9". He's like 180 pounds, I think. Like, he's not very – he's pretty skinny. He's always been skinny. But he's – I'm happy for him, happy as for his family. I remember his mom, like, growing up. Like, the mom was, like, the sweetest person ever. So, good for him. Good for everyone. And I guess this is a – good place to park the rocket ship for now. Thank you, Nima, especially on today and dropping the knowledge, dropping the gems. Feel free to plug anything you're working on, Nima, and floor is yours.
I have a podcast coming out tomorrow, maybe today, I guess. I don't know when you are releasing this one. But tomorrow, to the people that are listening now, coming out with Rafael Barlow from Locked On Draft, so that'll be a good one. I do have my big board and mock draft and stuff that I will be posting on Apollo. Feel free to follow at Apollo HOU. Follow me on Twitter at Finding Nemo 23. Like the movie. Sorry, my dog's eating
like,
something.
Like the movie.
Yeah.
It took me a while to figure that out, actually.
I'm still working on my little dashboards for the draft, but be on the lookout for those. I'm trying to do those for everybody that gets drafted by draft night, so working on that a lot. I'm busy, but follow me. I appreciate y'all. Thanks for having me on. Fan of the show, fan of y'all. So, always good to talk to you all about the Rockets.
And we're a fan of you.
Absolutely.
And you can also follow my co-pilot, Mr. Michael Brown, on Twitter at
BSW_MB.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. You can follow The Dream Take on Twitter at The Dream Take. You can follow The Dream Shake on Twitter at DreamShakeSBN. And you can check out all of our content over at TheDreamShake.com. Home of all things Houston Rockets at SBNation.com. We'll be back probably Sunday or Monday recording for another new episode. We're going to discuss the bigs. We're going to give JT Thor a whole lot of love. So we're really going to break down him, and we're going to break down guys like Isaiah Jackson, and we'll talk a little bit more about anyone that wants to come up and speak and share some Rockets love and some love for the big prospects we have in this draft, because the Rockets need a big. I think that's a very big priority in this draft. Whether they take it at Mobley at 2 or whether they go later in the draft, I know Mike really wants a big. He wants one so bad.
Yes, I do. So at least one, if not 2.
We want 5 bigs. We're just going to play 5 centers next season.
I would love
not that. Small ball. We're playing tall ball. It's tall ball now.
I want very tall ball.
Maybe not quite there, but yeah, a big would be nice. So we're going to be discussing those early next week, and then we're hoping sometime about a week from now we're going to have our big giant 30-man first round mock with a bunch of guys that are in the green room community for basketball, that are in the SB Nation community. We're going to have like a whole little hybrid, and we're going to have opinions from everyone in every which way. So be sure to check that out soon. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this episode, and until next time, go Rockets!